Amazon owes you money, probably quite a bit of money, maybe thousands of dollars. And that's because a lot of the mistakes they make in logistics, from lost shipments, damages, and items not showing up, returns that never came back from customers, you name it, the list goes on. In today's podcast, we're going to talk to my partners and My Refund Guy. That's a service that we offer. And it's through a sister company called the Seller Investigators. And we're going to talk today to the founders, Robert Ferrier and Lee Laurie, and they have lots of insight to share about how they run our sister part of our company called My Refund Guy. This is the My Amazon Guy podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Pope, founder of the agency My Amazon Guy. Tune in each week to learn how to grow your Amazon sales. All right, I'm now joined by Lee and Robert. Thank you guys for joining the My Amazon Guy podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having us.
So first of all, how are your days going today?
Good, busy. It's just been, a big year with COVID and Amazon. Our business couldn't be better.
What about you, Robert?
Yeah. Well, it's 10 after 7 and Wednesday night is my night to make dinner and I still got to do that. So it's good. I'm busy. It's just late. Maybe the kids will be a little mad at me for waiting for dinner, but I'm munching on some sushi to hold me over until we get the pasta on.
So right before we turn the podcast on, I saw Robert scarping some sushi and I thought there might be a story behind that. And so Robert, when you first started your business, I want you to walk me through that story. And I just learned right before the call that you're married to somebody who's from the Philippines. So let's go into that story. Tell me a little about how you guys came up with some of your backstory here.
Yeah. We have twin boys and we figured they're old enough to remember it, but not old enough to refuse to go. So we took them to the Philippines for a year so they could learn about where their mom comes from. And they studied there for a year and my back office support was there. And Amazon was just becoming a bigger and bigger part of my life. I'm originally from e-commerce, hard goods. And then being there for a year, you think of other things to do and products to develop when you're with all your technical people. And this space, reconciling your account is just a challenge, you know. And getting with my IT people, they said, let's do something. Let's fix this. Let's develop a tool. This is a tool that we need and others need because the amount of hours people spend reconciling these reports is just hours that are just wasted when you should be focused on better photography, new items, working on your marketing. This is a tool that could be something. And a few years onward, it really is for us. I mean, we're helping a lot of people.
So we have partnered up with Robert and Lee to bring our own tool for our clients called My Refund Guy. And the thing that I think is most impressive behind the software is the reporting, right? So like the service is cool and it's good and helpful, but the reporting, it just kind of knocked my socks off when I saw it, right? So like somebody can track every dime that you claw back from Amazon. And so when you started talking about the reconciliation, I can really tell that when you guys built the tool, it was built with really hardcore accounting in mind. So if I wanted to, put this tool in place today, by tomorrow, I could send the accountant the bill and all of the information about what the service is doing and how it did it and when the ticket was filed and what ticket deserved how much money. It's just fantastic. So props to you guys on that. How did you decide to structure the dashboard with that in mind?
I think when you develop something like this, you have a couple of paths you can go. And some other tools that I've seen out there are more kind of cloak and dagger or less sophisticated, fancy Google Sheets and kind of hard to get through. We just voted for as much transparency as possible. Let's make all the people out there better at what they do and their lives easier. So, and we still do to this day. I mean, we have people in-house who are always looking at how can we let the customer know how they can improve themselves? How did this shipment go wrong? And what could I do to stop it prior to going wrong? Because I don't know if other people think that maybe, oh, if they know what they're doing wrong, maybe they won't need us, or I don't know what that is. But Lee and I's kind of thought process is, if we lost one customer, which we rarely, if ever, lose any customers, you know, we gain 10 to 20 customers who are just so pleased that they can know everything about what's going right, what's going wrong with their accounts. So that's kind of, you know, where we came from on that.
So Lee, bringing you in here, how did you get involved in this awesome enterprise? I almost said mess. I almost did.
Yeah, maybe it was a mess at first, but it's not a mess anymore. But
and that's because of you, right? So
well, no, I don't know about that. But I came out like Robert. I came out of the durable goods stuff or space. I ran a wearable device business for a long time. We had an Amazon presence. Robert and I actually met through a mutual friend. It's probably been 10 or 15 years ago. We used to travel to the Far East together and do trade shows. And I'm really kind of an ops guy, really kind of pretty organized and, you know, kind of doing the block and tackling. And Robert approached me when he was over in the Philippines, living over there with his family, and, you know, kind of came up with the idea to say, hey, would you be interested in doing something with me? About a year and a half prior to that, I had sold my wearable device business and was looking for something to do. And did a little bit of research. The space was pretty new, but it was clearly a pretty large industry or potential. And what was out there was really not very good. Kind of Robert alluded to, you know, the dashboard and whatnot. Just as an example, some of our competitors, and there are a few, are hiding kind of how they do some stuff. They don't want everybody to kind of know that they can't necessarily track every dollar or that they aren't as successful as they claim to be and whatnot. And so our approach from day one was, let's be transparent. Let's make sure everybody understands that we're not going to win every time, but we're going to make sure that they know we're being honest about it. And we're doing we're putting our best foot forward and we're doing everything we can to do right by them. And as a result, the business has flourished. And I think that the hard work is really, you know, it's been paying off for a while, but this year in particular, it's really been good.
One of my core beliefs behind my own business at my Amazon guy is the belief in transparency. And you guys just talked a lot about that. We give all of our trade secrets away for free. It's totally the Gary Vee model, right? And if people want to hire us, even after we've given them great information, all the better. And generally what I found is we actually get more clients by doing it this way. And so I think that's exactly where you found your success. And that's why our partnership has been so fruitful. We have, dozens and dozens of clients that have utilized my refund guy to claw back thousands of dollars from Amazon. And I think the number that we did this year is coming up on 40,000 or something like that. Clawed back out of Amazon, and we'll probably beat that next year and then some. So it's good to get money back out of Amazon that they owe you. Very, very important to do that. All right, so let's talk about the functionality behind the software of MyRefundGuy. So, like, first of all, for somebody coming in cold, that, you know, they've heard the backstory, but they may have no idea what we're talking about yet. Let's address that first. So, like, what is it that you do?
So within the Amazon, we can help anybody who's a Seller Central account, and we will find the most money for people that are doing FBA. So anybody who fits that category is essentially on a consignment relationship with Amazon. And as a result of Amazon being orders of magnitude larger than a particular seller, Amazon has significant leverage on that seller with respect to sort of the accounting practices and how monies go back and forth. And what we basically do is we run an API, which is basically a fancy term for some math that we run. We smash against a couple of outputs that we get, 5 reports specifically. And then we look for discrepancies within those reports that don't line up. And then once identified, we use human capital or people to physically go through and identify what is erroneous and what could have been, you know, just kind of messed up in the system. And then once those dollars are identified, if the client wants us to, we'll chase it up. To begin with, we'll do a free audit, which basically you sign up for the service, you don't put in a credit card, and we'll run a full audit. We'll give you that information. Theoretically, you could do it yourself, what we do, but you're just not going to be that successful. Amazon, you mentioned earlier, you know, they play hard.
It takes a little bit of professional persistence sometimes, right?
It does. It, you know, oftentimes we're rejected 4, 5, 6 times. You have to continue to go back. You have to continue to be polite, but, you know, somewhat confrontational to kind of keep pushing. And then eventually, you know, most of the time they recognize that, you know, we're not going to go away and the money comes back. And so, you know, doing it yourself, there are really three options. There's to work with us, to ignore it, or work with somebody like us. And like I said earlier, there are a couple of competitors, none of which I think have as robust of a system as we do. You can ignore it to your peril because it represents about 1% of your business is sort of disappearing on an annualized basis. Or you can do it in-house. And doing it in-house, you know, is complicated. It typically goes to somebody who is wearing multiple hats, doing multiple different things, and they aren't as focused on it as obviously we would be. And they get discouraged because Amazon rejects everything 4, 5, 6 times. And as a result, you just don't get that much money back. And so if you really think about sort of how our system works, we're free when you sign up. We are free to be on the platform. It costs you money when we're successful and only when we're successful.
Commission-based services always are a sign of competency. And I think you hit that one right on. So, you know, going to you, Robert, why is it that Amazon owes me money as a seller?
They owe you money, because they're busy as heck and they make mistakes. Some of these mistakes are inbound shipments. It can be as simple as, you know, you have a, you know, tracking number that says you sent in 48 units. They received 36 units. You know, there's 12 units that have gone missing. That doesn't get relayed to you. That doesn't get credited to you until you bring it to their attention. A lot of times I like to compare it to like, you know, UPS or FedEx. They say, if we don't deliver by 10 a.m., you get your money back. Well, that's all well and true, but only if you ask for your money back. So a lot of these discrepancies are just things that, you know, squeaky wheel gets grease, you know, things that you just have to ask for. Because in fairness to them, I don't know that Amazon's malicious or anything. There are, you know, they're the reason we all have jobs. But at the end of the day, you know, they're running around like a headless chicken, like all of us are, and a lot of mistakes happen. So you'll find it on inbound shipments. You'll find it on lost and damaged. You'll find it on, you know, improper, you know, discarding of goods that were returned. Improper credits given to clients. There is an all in total about 20 different reasons why you'll have an accounting irregularity. And with our API that dives into the system, the computer, like Lee had mentioned, does all the front end stuff, and hard to beat a computer if programmed right, which we're constantly refining. And then we put it in the hands of our human capital thereafter. So like Lee says, it's hard for anyone to get the same back that we do. So, I mean, there's various reasons why that money's out there, and those are some of them.
So let's give some value to our audience today. Lee, if somebody wanted to do this themselves, walk me through what they need to do. Walk me through the reports they download and how they do it. And of course, what I'm hoping is after we explain all this, people are like, yeah, I don't want to go through that. I'd rather hire you, right? Like that's our goal for this conversation, obviously. But with that in mind, we're going to give free transparency on how somebody does this. So Lee, walk me through how somebody would do this manually.
Yeah, the first thing you would do is you'd go to My Refund Guy and you'd sign up for the service. There's a two-step authentication. Oh, sorry.
So instead of talking about how to use the service, what I actually meant is how to actually do this themselves without us. So give away the trade secret. So I go into my business reports, I do XYZ, and this is how I download it and file some. And that would get me through 50% of the goods and whatever, you know, something like that.
Yeah, you would need to basically pull the 5 reports, the sales reports that we pull within the system that we do digitally. You would have to do that digitally, and without an API, you'd be doing that manually. And then you would theoretically have all 5 of them laid out on paper in front of you, and you would cross-reference to make sure that, you know, what was and wasn't consistent across the platform. It is complicated to do this internally. And, you know, as Robert said, I don't know that Amazon is doing it maliciously. I just think they are running at 1,000 miles an hour like everybody else, and they're doing the best they can, and they're just kind of, they're doing it and moving on. And the sellers, you know, they're kind of left for themselves. If you were selling into a retailer like a Walmart or a Target or anybody sort of as a traditional brick and mortar retailer, you'd expect some shrinkage. And effectively what we're doing is shrinkage. It's not exactly shrinkage because there's some other things around it, but I like to think of it that way. So if you were selling into a store, you'd have shrinkage, you'd accept that. You'd know that things were gonna get stolen, you know, things would get damaged, things would, you know, get lost, whatever. You'd account for that within your pricing model. But with Amazon, it's going to a warehouse. There's really no reason why when they take delivery of it, they can't count it accurately, as an example, or they can't keep track of it when it's sitting on a shelf, when it's your stuff that they've got sitting in the warehouse. And so, you know, that's why we have jobs.
So let's run through like one or two of those report types. So give me an example. So somebody goes into Seller Central, they put their cursor over reports and goes to, I think the dropdown is fulfillment reports. Give me a name of one of those two reports you guys look at.
Robert, do you know what the names of the reports are?
Am I pulling you guys on the, I'm putting you on the
spot. Yeah, you're putting me on the spot. I don't know the names of the reports. We pull them and we've done hundreds of thousands of them.
Let me give you an example of like one of our most exciting things and the new tool that all your customers need and how it's kind of impossible for them to deal with it, which is dealing, you know, with weights and dimensions. Weights and dimensions is a new tool that we came out with. And you will have, you know, your box is 12 by 12 by 12. All of a sudden next month, your box is, you know, 12 by 12 by 15, and anything over 14 inches on one angle goes to oversize right away. So,
my shipping cost was at $350 before I was oversized, and then I'm oversized and it's over $5 now, which let's say I'm selling a $15 item. That's a 15-20% margin hit. Big deal. All right, keep going.
And Amazon doesn't notify you. And then you can be carrying on like that. If you have 100, 200, 1,000 SKUs, if you're not being notified that your weights and dimensions change, how are you going to manage that other than, you know, running through a report every, you know, 3 months or whatever you want to do, and checking all the weights and dims and making sure that they are in order. What we do with the system that my refund guy has is we, every 72 hours, run through every weights and dimensions that Amazon has. Your clients have all their weights and dimensions entered. If anything, any variance is in there, a red flag goes up. So you will at the very most have 3 days worth of incorrect weights and dimensions out there. Now, that's just an example. Like, if, to your point, with how would somebody do it on their own? You essentially cannot do that on your own. You know, you need a computer to be doing that because you couldn't possibly be going through all the time checking it. And then once we do realize the discrepancy, certainly when we take on the account, we can go back 30 days and get you your money back. But, you know, my refund guy is not the one that's going to really benefit there. There's not a ton of money that you're going to be getting back. But your clients on a move forward basis are going to be saving monumental amounts of money, you know, when these things go off. I've more than once found items that I'm paying $2, $3 extra for, and it's carried on for months. So that's just an example of, you know, to your point of what's something they'd have to do on their own that just makes so much more easy and more effective.
So just to read off some reports here. So I'm in the Amazon fulfillment reports at Seller Central. There's the multi-channel fulfillment inventory, multi-country inventory, dangerous goods status, restock inventory, stranded inventory, reserved inventory, subscribe and save forecasting, inventory reconciliation, small and light inventory. And I'm not even halfway through the list. Like there are so many reports. So the idea of trying to do this without a specialization, if we were going to take a page out of kind of the rich dad, poor dad book, if you will, do you want to work in your business or for your business? I think this is a great case example of how, if you try and do things like this on your own, you're going to be working in your business instead of, I guess, for your business instead of on your business. Yeah. All right. So let's talk Philippines. So, I have a staff of 30 at my Amazon guy. Half of my staff is in the Philippines, and we utilize hyper-specialized individuals because, like, for example, I have one person on my team. All they do all day long is build parentages. There's probably no person in this entire country, in the United States, that spends as much time building parentages as this individual on my team. Like, they are, like, best in class at it. So that's why we use staff in the Philippines, because it allows us some hyper-specialization with SOPs that are better and best in class than anywhere else you can find. So you guys also use labor in the Philippines, and I would love to hear the backstory on like how you built that team. And, you know, a lot of people are always trying to hire VAs and stuff. So any tips and recommendations that you guys have figured out involved in that?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I'm probably biased as the wife is Filipino and the you know, my kids are half Filipino, but let me give it a shot here. You know, it's, I don't think there's really any better market. As you know, Lee and I have looked at our business. We're always looking at our business. How has this been so successful? Why are we seeing the success we're having? And it really truly is to our partners in the Philippines, our staff in the Philippines. There's just quite a labor arbitrage there as far as cost of, you know, you can in the Philippines get someone who has been practicing English since they were in kindergarten, whose focus is education, because I've been there, I've lived there. It's everything is about education. And when they come out of college at 20 some odd years old, they are raring to take on a task and be the very best at it. And having lived over there for the time I did, you know, the staff, some are family, some became family. And we have the ability to have all these people to pay them fine salaries for over there. They're in the top of their league over there. But for us, it gives us the flexibility of being able to be priced really appropriately for our customers, because, you know, just if it would be very hard if we're, you know, if we didn't have that arbitrage to chase a $2 claim, to chase a $10 claim, which we do. And you'll find a lot of other people out there who don't have that advantage. So, I mean, I've heard people say, don't introduce me to anyone who doesn't sell $1 million a year, which is just, to me and Lee, preposterous, because, you know, it's actually the people that are smaller that need all of our help more. They need us more because every dollar counts. You're losing 1-2%. You know, if you factor your gross margin, you know, you're actually losing 5-8% of your profit. And that's the money that, you know, have to be reinvested in the business to get onto the next product so that you can be that $1 million seller. So we're able to do that for everybody. So, you know, your clients will see, they'll see refunds for $2. They'll see refunds for $10 because the Filipino staffing is second to none. I mean, I know the India have fine people, the Ukraine have fine people, but
I'm all in on the Philippines labor staff. For all the same reasons you mentioned, is there any takeaways that you've learned that, like, hey man, when you're building a business and engaging with talent in the Philippines, make sure you do this. Like, any takeaways on that?
Well, I think I'll take that for a second. I think that anytime you outsource development or teamwork or a segment of your business, and Stephen, you can, you know, you've got 15 folks in the Philippines. Culturally as well as professionally, they don't know what you want. You need to be very specific. This is the rules. This is what we want. This is, you know, the boundaries we create. This is how much flexibility we're willing to give you, almost like you would to a normal employee in the United States, but recognizing that the Philippine is certainly the people that we work with. Everybody is very eager to work hard and prove themselves. They are
a pleasing culture is kind of how I would phrase it. Yeah,
the culture is so focused on being honest and everybody's happy and smiling. And there's a lot of multi-generational people living in the same house and just a lot of really, really good things in the culture that if you give people a roadmap for what you want, it will rise up and meet every expectation you set and more.
So last question for you guys today, let's have both of you take a stab at this. Selling on Amazon is getting more complicated, harder than ever. It's also more valuable than ever because there's more people flocking to it. Give me some cheerleading. What would you say to the Amazon sellers listening to this, trying to grow their sales? What kind of encouragement would you give them today? Lee, you want to start?
Sure. I mean, I would say that, I mean, Amazon, as massive as it is and as big of a footprint as there is on the platform, there are, what, 250,000 million-dollar sellers in the United States. And obviously there are people smaller, and, you know, Robert said earlier, it's ludicrous to only target $1 million accounts, but that gives you a sense of how big the scale is of people doing $1 million a year in business. That's a good sized business from, you know, for virtually anybody, you know, in the country as an entrepreneur to be doing that. And there are 250,000 of them, and that number is growing every year. So there's enormous opportunity within Amazon, but I think it's really important people understand that you can't do it alone. You need help. You cannot manage all of the pieces within Amazon. It's way too complex now. And you need help, and you need to focus on sales, not back end, as much as you can. And, you know, a service like My Refund Guy is an example of that. Don't spin your wheels trying to get money back. Focus on getting more money. And let somebody who's dedicated to doing that go out on your behalf and help you with that.
I think that was a great answer, Lee. Amazon's half the economy. All right, Robert, same question for you. Cheerleading for Amazon sellers listening to this, what would you say to them as complexities go up? What words of encouragement would you give them?
Yeah. No, I mean, I often think to write a book, like, you will not get rich overnight on Amazon, you know, because...
Well, I thought Amazon was passive income.
Yeah, I know. Passive income. Yeah.
That is my catchphrase. I'm getting every podcast I can.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, and then I'm going to flip this house, and then I'm going to sell that apartment, and
Man, I'm a real estate team, right?
Just be realistic with it. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I got young kids, and I worry about the opportunities that are out there, because the world is so much more complex. And technology has taken so many tasks that are, you know, were well-paying jobs. You don't drive up to a toll booth collector and give a well-paid man or woman your token anymore. A computer does that. And it's just as plain as simple as that. So there's so many areas in the world where, you know, it's tough to find a gig. And I think Amazon is like just filled with opportunity. But just be very realistic and just be very pragmatic and just don't buy into like, oh, this widget's got opportunity. This software says this widget has got opportunity. Find an item that you love, that you need, fill a void, find something that you can't find on there and get after it. It just is, I mean, I live a very fortunate life, a very happy life. And a big part of it is because of the noise we're making on Amazon. Both, you know, I'm still a seller you know, the service that Lee and I are doing for people here, it's a great, great space. The people in this community are fantastic. I mean, coming out of other industries where it's very, you know, conflict, Amazon people everyone's cheerleading each other. So go for it.
I think part of that is because Amazon, it's like us against Amazon. It's not me against you. It's kind of a collective, like, man, we're trying to just survive with this monopoly called Amazon, right? And I don't mean to bite the hand that feeds us too hard, but occasionally it needs a little nip, which is why we claw back services like My Refund Guy. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Lee and Robert, for joining us. I think my favorite answer in our podcast today was the last one we just did, which is that cheerleading that people need to just go do it. So thank you guys for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for listening to the My Amazon Guy podcast today about My Refund Guy. If you want to sign up and try it out for free, no credit card needed, nothing of that sort, just to see what the audit would suggest that we think, how much money we can recover for you, go to myrefundguy.com. You're just going to simply sign up with your name and email address, connect your Seller Central account. All of the instructions are provided step by step. I even have a video tutorial right on myrefundguy.com to walk you through all that, with some examples of showing what the portal looks like, all the dashboard that you get access to. Every dollar that Amazon owes you can be tracked, and what we recover for you for a small commission fee, 25%, and we will get that money back for you. Thanks again for watching the podcast. Hit that subscribe button. My name is Stephen Pope. I'm the founder of My Amazon Guy, and every video that we do and every podcast we do, we focus on how to grow Amazon sales.